Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. You know, whether you're 30 or 50 or 60, changing careers isn't something you want to do without having a bit of a plan, at least. And Darcy Loma is with us to help in that process. Darcy's a master certified coach, a facilitator, a motivational speaker, and she's founder and CEO of Darcy Loma Coaching and Consulting in Madison. She has lots of experience. And I tell you what, I hope you'll join in with your questions and comments. What would you like to know about preparing for a second career? And if you've already done that, we wouldn't mind hearing that process and what it was like for you. You can give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Darcy Loma, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, Larry. So great to be here.
So, in your business, do you see a lot of people who are looking to change careers?
Absolutely. There's people who are both looking to change careers and those who maybe didn't make the choice and have to find a new career because either they've been downsized or let go for some reason.
Yeah, and I've had many students over the years. I've advised a lot of students, and sometimes they get into a career and a couple, 3 years into it, they you know what? This isn't kind of what I thought it was going to be.
That happened to me, but it didn't take 3 years. It took me about 20 years. I'm a slow study, I guess.
Oh, man. Well, what I would expect, this is may have increased this interest in switching careers since the pandemic.
I think the pandemic certainly provided a disruption for a lot of people and in some cases opportunities to rethink their career and their life and their lifestyle. But having said that, you know, in general, this generation today isn't like my parents' generation where they stayed in the same career for decades. It's not uncommon to change careers.
And I would expect you'd think it's a good idea to get some help to make these or to plan for these changes.
I absolutely think it's a great idea. And that help can come from a lot of different places.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's friends or colleagues or family, it could come from a therapist. It might come from a coach.
And what about age? Does it matter when you switch a new career?
I don't think it matters, but the challenges will be different depending on what age you're in.
Yeah. Well, let's take a look at that, the sort of different age ranges. What about younger, a little bit younger folks?
Yeah, I mean, the challenges if you're younger is you may not have the life experience, the knowledge, the expertise, the degrees to be able to have a strong foundation to pursue a new career. That doesn't mean you can't do it. It just means you need to have some self-awareness and do a little bit of research on what do I need to be able to succeed if I'm going to change careers.
Yeah. And this whole process. I've got a friend who's interested and has a really good job right now, as a matter of fact, but has wanted to change careers and doesn't quite know what exactly she wants to do. I think there are things she would like to do, but they would not earn her what she's currently making.
And a lot of people have golden handcuffs, and they feel like they can't make a bold decision and make a move because they'd have to be starting over and the pay scale. And that's a very real challenge to have to deal with at any age.
Yeah. Is it easier for somebody, let's say, who's been out in the workforce for 20, 25 years, do you think?
I wouldn't say easier. I would say just that the challenges are different. So somebody who's been, you know, in one career for a couple of decades, that's their identity. That's where they are known. That's where they have expertise and knowledge. And so to redefine themselves, to network, to in some cases start over, if indeed you're going to make a massive career shift, can not only present challenges on the technical aspect of whatever career it is, but also emotionally feeling like you can start over in your 50s, in your 60s, whatever it might be.
Yeah, I would say, you know, the steps to that would be, there'd be some massive steps that you'd have to go through.
Yeah, absolutely. Not only sort of steps on, you know, whether it's doing informational interviews, getting clear on, gosh, where am I intrigued? Where do I get energy? What is it that I want? Your friend you talked about, I think it's not uncommon to be in this state like, I'm not really fulfilled anymore in my current career, but I don't know what else would be next. But then also steps if you're going to end your current career. My very first job, Larry, that I had, I was in college. I was working for a leadership institute, and I was just kind of done energetically, emotionally. I just was done. And I started to get a bit of an attitude. And my boss told me, I will never forget, Dr. Hellett said, "Darcy, how you end a job is more important than how you start." And I have never forgotten that. And so not only is there the steps to figuring out what the new career is, there's steps to figure out how do you end your current career? How do you leave a current job?
Yeah, I would think you never want to burn the bridges, I wouldn't think.
You don't want to burn bridges. And that's interesting because as I've coached people through transitions, oftentimes there's an exit interview. And I will say to be cautious, be careful. People sometimes on their way out the door want to say, and this I didn't like, and that I wish was different. And the reality is, if they didn't focus on it when you were there, why would you share that on your way out and burn a bridge? I think you need to be really thoughtful and intentional about how you leave that job.
Yeah. Paul in Madison has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Paul.
Good morning, Larry, and good morning to your guest. I chased careers at the tender age of 40. I had found myself in a job that I had worked or a career I had been in for a dozen or more years. And I just realized I was kind of at a dead end. I just wasn't going to get any kind of advancement. Fortunately, I had saved up a bunch of money to, I was planning on buying a house. So I had the resources to say, you know what, I'm going back to school. I got into a program. I completely changed careers into the IT world. And it got me the rest of the way to retirement. I'm now 70.
Outstanding. Well, there's some key things there that, thank you very much, Paul, for joining in. There's some key things that he brought up.
He did. And Paul, thanks so much. I mean, that's bold, first of all, for you. And it takes a great degree of not only courage, but self-awareness to say, gosh, I'm in a dead end career. There's no advancement here. And to be able to pivot and shift. And I oftentimes, I'm talking to somebody who's 40, say, ugh, it's too late. No, it's not too late. That's a beautiful example, Paul. Here you are 70 and you retired from a second career.
And got apparently close to 30 years in that second career. Well, the other thing that he mentioned, though, was that he had some finances there. And I think that's probably a very key thing.
Well, it is key, and especially because if you don't have a financial foundation and a safety net, you might jump too quickly, and you're maybe making a decision from a place of scarcity and fear, and that might mean that you go into a new career too quickly that isn't the right fit, only to find yourself in a similar place down the road. Like, I'm still not fulfilled, or it could even be worse.
Yeah. I'm wondering if you were in that position, in that kind of situation, you're going from one career to another, but you run out of money, and now I'm going to have to do whatever I can to make money. Does that have an impact negatively on your chances for that new career?
Well, I think it all comes down to mindset and being thoughtful with how you are navigating that chapter. So certainly, if it means that you need to go get a job, a side job, to have the income to be able to support your lifestyle, that's fine, as long as then you're still carving out time to be able to research, to build your skills, to go back to school, to do informational interviews, so that that temporary position doesn't become something that you're at for 10 years and then you're bitter and angry and resentful.
Yeah. I've had people come to me for informational interviews. Quite a few, actually, over the years, and in most cases they listened to my radio show, or they knew about me from my radio show or from my work as a professor, and so they called and most of the time I had pretty good experiences with those people. What do you do when, in your mind, what do you do, how do you get an informational interview, and then what are the questions you ask?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's some tips that I would definitely say to do and not to do. So, starting with identifying, okay, what are the industries, the titles, or the people that I'm intrigued with, that I want to explore? I'm making a list and then prioritizing it and starting with the low-hanging fruit. Somebody you know, you start there. Or if you don't know them, then asking your network, hey, I really want to do an informational interview with Larry Mueller. Do you have any connections to him? The key is then when you have that informational interview, you can share something in advance. Here's why I'm reaching out. Mm-hmm. I'm in a career transition, or I'm exploring what might be next. But then don't make it all about you. When you have that informational interview, be curious. Have some questions written down to ask. Okay, so Larry, how did you get started? What do you love? What do you wish you knew when you started this career that you know now that you didn't know then? What regrets do you have? What did you learn the hard way? There's all sorts of really curious questions. And then honor the amount of time. If you give me 30 minutes, don't go for an hour. Having said that, a lot of times I find when people do informational interviews, they love talking. So at 30 minutes, they're like just in the middle of a story having fun. Then just design. Say, I want to honor your time. I know we've scheduled 30 minutes. I don't have a hard stop. I'm happy to keep going. So that you're really being respectful. Make sure then that you follow up with a thank you. And one of the other things I suggest is at the end of the informational interview, asking, you know, this is fascinating. Thank you so much. Do you have one or two other people you might recommend that I meet with based on the interest that I've expressed with you? And that's another way to then keep that, exploration going and to get additional informational interviews.
Yeah, those are all really good points. Ted in Wauwatosa, let's go to you. Ted, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. It's like your phone died on me. Yeah, I teach at a college level, and I often have students who are in their mid to late 50s coming through my courses, and they, when they complete the diploma, end up not having trouble getting a job because of their age. Is there an age at which it's going to be more difficult or just not possible to really change jobs?
Ted. That's a great question, and obviously, legally, that's not even possible. And having said that, of course, there's going to be different challenges if you're in your 50s. But there's certainly not an age at which you can't change careers. Absolutely not. I would say thinking about maybe doing a functional resume instead of a chronological resume, which just means that you are identifying your skill sets and putting them on your resume by category instead of saying in 1972 I had this job and 19, so that you are not highlighting your age, can be one strategy.
And in terms of a resume, what is there, I usually, for my own students, they're typically creating resumes for the job. So they might have 10 different resumes. But in terms of the the length of a resume and what it should look like? What are your, do you have some advice in those areas?
Well, kudos to them for customizing their resume for the job. That's brilliant. I'd say, you know, not only, so resume, different school of thoughts, having one page, two page, as important and maybe even more important now is your online presence. And depending on what career, yeah, and, you know, but having a really strong LinkedIn profile, reaching out and getting recommendations on and endorsements, testimonials on that LinkedIn profile. So when someone starts to Google you and say, who is this Darcy Loma person? That what is coming up is a good representation of who you are and what your history has been professionally.
Yeah, that makes good sense. But there's still there, even though there's not supposed to be age discrimination, there often is.
There often is. And you, that's where I think you use it to your advantage. I just read something the other day about when Ronald Reagan was running for president and his age had become an issue and he was in the next debate. And he said, I will not let age become an issue in this campaign. I'm not going to let people attack you for your youth and inexperience. So I think you can use your age and wisdom and foundation that you have to your advantage when you're networking and interviewing for a job.
Taking a look at starting a second career with our guest today, Darcy Loma, Master Certified Coach, Facilitator, and founder of and CEO of Darcy Loma Coaching and Consulting in Madison. Questions for her, you give a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. It's 800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Jill Nadeau's our producer today, Trina LaSousa, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. And glad to have you listening in today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here as we talk with Darcy Loma of Darcy Loma Consulting and Coaching and Consulting in Madison. Great to have her back to be with us. She was here about a year ago, I think, and it was always nice to have her come by. Questions or comments or maybe an experience to share, I hope you'll join in. The number is 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. Bonnie and Stevens Point, we go to you. Hi, Bonnie.
Well, hi. So I went to college and I got a degree in fine arts and discovered that my only marketable skill was typing. And I didn't really know what I was going to do with myself until one day I was listening to your show. And you were talking to a nurse practitioner and a physician assistant, and it set off all kinds of light bulbs for me. And I went back to school, and there were barriers, certainly. I hadn't even taken high school chemistry, so I had to take high school chemistry. I had to take a bunch of different classes, and then I went back to the university, and I got my degree in nursing, and I became a registered nurse. And I had that career for maybe 20 years, and then I retired, and now I own a yarn shop.
Well, Bonnie, you're really making me feel good, because one of the things we try to do on this show is provide information and sometimes support and so forth. So I'm glad that it had at least a small, I mean, you had to do all the work, but I'm glad that we got that idea in your mind. Comment, Darcy?
Absolutely. Bonnie, I love that story. In particular, I'm going to highlight a few things. One, you paid attention to your energy. Sometimes people are like, I don't know what I'm passionate about. Passion can be a really intimidating word, but something about that show with Larry energized you. And then you had the grit and the determination to make a plan to go back to school, to go back to do high school chemistry. Oh, my gosh. It's fantastic. And to redefine yourself. And not only did you do that for 20 years, you've redefined yourself again as a, I'm guessing, an entrepreneur and a business owner of a yarn shop. So kudos to you. A lot of good lessons there.
Bonnie, thanks a lot. So how'd you happen to open a yarn shop? Was that another just something that hit you?
Some friends had opened the yarn shop, and then they were ready to give it up. So two other women and I bought it from them. And we sell locally produced yarns, wool and alpaca, and then lots of local handcrafted things. So come on by. We're here in Stevens Point. It's a lovely shop.
What's the name of your shop?
The Wisconsin Wool Exchange.
Ah. Bonnie, thank you very much for a call. I appreciate your call, and I was glad to give you a little plug there for the Wisconsin Wool Exchange. I appreciate it very much. Well, let's go to Marcus in Milwaukee next. Marcus, hi.
Hi. To all your listeners, Larry, I would just say to people out there, have courage, have faith. If you're unhappy with where your life is going, until you're pushing daisies, as my grandpa used to say, it's never too late to turn around and change the path you're on. And so just proceed forward with courage.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, beautifully said, Marcus. And, you know, courage and faith. And really prioritizing your happiness, no matter what life stage you're at. You're not pushing daisies. I love that from your grandpa.
Carol emailed to ask, tell us more about what an informational interview really is. And we did talk a bit about it, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, an informational interview is where you are asking somebody who is in a field, a position, an organization that you're curious about. You want to learn more. And ideally, when you're doing an informational interview, the other tip I have is don't ask questions that you can find online. Do your research, Google, study their background, their history, the organization, the mission, the job, so that when you're having the conversation, you're asking those questions that are deeper, that will really inspire some new knowledge that you can't just find online, because that's just wasting somebody's time.
Yeah, that I think that's really good advice. And then again, as you were saying, there's lots of ways, I guess, that you can, if you've got a particular area in mind, it's how do you make the connection to that person?
Yeah, exactly. And so if you want, and I'll tell you, this is why I say make your list, write it down and prioritize and maybe say, okay, A, B, and C. A is like the top tier. Oh my gosh, if I could talk to Larry Mueller, that'd be fabulous. And then your B list and your C list. Once you've done that, I don't know, Larry, the universe will conspire to support you. And all of a sudden you'll be at some luncheon or fundraiser and somebody will say, you know, I just saw Larry at the whatever Rotary Club. And just, you know, Larry, there will be opportunities to make those connections.
Yeah.
It happens. I've seen it over and over again.
Oh, and Denny called to comment that someone in business, that as someone in business for 50 years, he's observed that most people who want to change jobs can't because of, well, he talks personal spending habits, but there is that to consider. I mean, sometimes you may not be able to stay at exactly the level to which you become accustomed, at least at first.
You may have to make some sacrifices and decide where you want to put your energy. I worked for 20 years in politics, 12 with Senator Herb Kohl. When he announced he was retiring, I hired a coach. All of my friends, my family, my colleagues, everybody just assumed I'd stay in politics. And my coach said, if in 10 years, Darcy, you looked back and had no regrets, what would you do right now? And I said, are you kidding? I'd start my own coaching and consulting company. And I was so excited. And she said, great, let's make a plan. I'm like, I can't do that. I need health insurance. I need a salary. I need benefits. I'm the sole breadwinner for a family of four. So she helped me to make a plan to figure out how indeed that could be possible. And one of the things it meant is really tightening the belt and getting really crystal clear on what those expenses are and where I could, like, so my lifestyle did have to change for a while.
Yeah, yeah. So and I guess a coach can, I mean, that's probably what you do right now.
It is what I do, absolutely. And I'll tell you, a coach can help you think differently because the advantage, well, also you can talk with friends and family. The benefit of having a coach is they're not emotionally attached to your decisions. They don't have any skin in the game. So for her to ask me that, I mean, oh my gosh, it just blew wide open the possibilities. Incidentally, Larry, I just celebrated 10 years in January, and I have no regrets. Had she not helped me sort of to step into that new possibility, I never would have had the courage to do it on my own.
You can join in too. Number to call 800-642-1234, or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. So you've changed, you're changing your job or your, you know, where you want to go, your career, and you actually make it to an interview. And how do you prepare yourself for that interview? And there are certain questions that you're going to get for sure, I would think, that you need to be ready to answer.
Yeah, and the more you prepare, the better. Doing sample interviews, asking friends, colleagues to create the situation as clearly and closely as possible to what you'll be doing. So if it's in person, doing it in person. If it's Zoom, and having them ask questions. And there are the questions you know you're going to get. I mean, you can certainly even just Google, but you, what are your strengths? What are your biggest weaknesses? What are your challenges? Being prepared so that your answers are authentic, but also that they're strategic, that they highlight the things that you want to be highlighting in that interview.
Yeah, and I'm certainly one question would be, well, you've the last 10 years you've been doing this, or the last 15, and this seems like a pretty big change. Why did you decide to make that change, and then what can you bring to the
yes,
to the company.
Right. And having the answer that you feel good about answering, giving, might be different than the answer give your spouse, which is, because I'm frustrated and angry and I hate my career. Okay, well, maybe that might be true. But how are you going to package that answer in a way that doesn't make you come across as a bitter, resentful person? And just thinking, like, I'm ready for a new challenge. I'm excited about pivoting into this new area because of these reasons.
Amanda emailed, she's a medically retired vet. And for the past 20 years, she's been trying to get back to school to become a nurse. She says she's been too intimidated and often sometimes too unwell to fulfill this ultimate dream. She's been... your guest has given her hope. Maybe she will call in one day with an update like Bonnie's. And Bonnie gave her a lot of hope as well. So she says, thank you for the show. She says her time may have passed to have a fulfilling career, but it's nice to hear others are living their dreams. And that's Amanda. Well, Amanda, maybe there's ways that you can still do what you wanted, have always wanted to do.
Absolutely, Amanda. You can, and I actually got goosebumps when you said that I have hope. If you're too intimidated, figure out what's the next step. What's the baby step? Just moving forward in the most incremental of a way. You don't need to go from 0 to 100. And the fact that you have an idea of what you want to do is a great starting point. So just make one call today. Make one commitment when you're done with this show of something you're going to move forward on your journey for. And I have a lot of hope for you, too.
Yeah, thanks very much, Amanda. Appreciate your call. Peggy in northern Wisconsin, you're up. Thank you for calling. Peggy, are you there?
Oh yeah. I'm on my car phone, so the sound is a little weird. Yeah, I just want to say what a nice coincidence that I tuned into this show. Retired educator from Wisconsin. I was a school counselor and moved out west for an adventure after we retired early and had a wonderful time out in North Idaho is where we lived. And I got hired again a couple times out there as a school counselor, but also a career counselor. And I have my coaching certification as well. And then we moved back to Minnesota. And I got bored again because I am a passionate educator that I just love my work. And I did a functional resume as well, so it wasn't age tracked. and I have found my perfect gig. I substitute for school counselors in the metro area, and the pay is good. I get my fix, and I can travel and be kind of choosy about what I get hired for. And so I just want to say there is no reason age has to have anything to do with starting new or trying something different. So thanks for your program.
Peggy, thank you so much for calling. Comment, Darcy.
Well, I think one of the things I want to highlight about Peggy is she said she found her perfect gig. Now, one person's treasure is another person's trash. Peggy had this great experience where she kept redefining herself, saying, okay, I'm bored, what's next? And kept investing in that. Now, for someone else, that might be like, oh my gosh, that I wouldn't have stability or I wouldn't have a community or substituting sounds miserable. For Peggy, it's perfect. The point being, really tap into and get clear, what's the perfect gig for you? What is it that brings you joy and fulfillment and energy? And then give yourself permission to write that down and to start to source ideas of how to create that for your life.
And the thing is, she's using the experience and her... Well, her job experience, but now she's using what she's learned and what she's used over the years in maybe just a slightly different way, but it's enough of a difference that she's finding a lot of fulfillment.
She is, and it sounds like it's allowing her to live the lifestyle she wants. She's got one foot in the professional world and feels fulfilled, and yet has plenty of time to, what I'm making up, Peggy, is plenty of time to play.
What if you, is it a good idea to make a career change after you've been let go from a job?
I think it certainly can be. The key is to identify and do some reflection and processing on where, you know, is the next chapter something new? Is that what you're craving? Is there something, and my point being, Larry, don't do that just because maybe if there's some shame or embarrassment or frustration or anger, there's lots of different opportunities. So if you've been let go, that might just not been the right environment, the right culture for you. So you don't necessarily need to change careers, but maybe that's an opportunity that is presenting itself.
Well, when I look at the job market these days, I mean, there seems to be a shortage of workers.
There is.
So the opportunities, I would think now, might be better than maybe they've ever been.
And certainly we're living in such a unique time with there's a lot of opportunities. And I think, you know, when you think about quiet quitting and the great resignation, people are realizing, and I think probably somewhat pandemic inspired, that, gosh, do I really need to commute an hour in traffic every day and sit in an office? Or is there something more creative? Do I want to work from home or have hybrid or change my lifestyle? And so I think that's probably what partially was behind this trend. And so there are a lot more opportunities right now in our environment than economically than there have been at other decades, other periods.
So you obviously can't give a specific name of a person, but can you give me an example of perhaps of someone or one or two people that you have worked with and how it worked out for them?
Oh my gosh, I have dozens, if not hundreds, of examples. I'll share one example from a client. I actually have permission from her, so I'll use her first name, Megan. I was coaching with her, and she was in a career where she just wasn't fulfilled. She was smart, she was good at it, but she wasn't fulfilled. During the coaching, she outlined and started to explore what did bring her fulfillment, what did bring her joy, and created a plan, and she completely redefined herself. I mean, completely redefined herself, not unlike, I think, some of the people who have called in. You know, we had Paul, for instance, and Bonnie. We've got examples. The other example that I'll share, I have coached a lot of people through a transition that they did not plan or expect, where they have been laid off or let go or fired. And I can pretty confidently say that 100% of them now say that was the best thing that ever happened. In the moment, it wasn't. It was painful. It was hard, challenging, scary. But that they embraced that opportunity to redefine themselves and to find something that was better. And in many cases, they knew it wasn't the right fit. They just didn't have the courage to jump and to go explore something else. Not unlike what Marcus said. You got to have courage. Mm-hmm. You got to have faith.
Yeah. So... so you're not running out of clients.
No. No.
All right. Give me one final word for folks who are thinking about it.
Well, we've talked about ending a career. We've talked about finding a new career. We've talked about interviewing. So if you then start a new job, a new career, I want you to be thinking about how do you design the alliance with your new coworkers, with your new boss? How do you get really clear on expectations and make the invisible visible so that you're not only looking at what are the technical aspects of the job, but also the emotional aspects? You know, what are your expectations? How do you want to communicate? How do we want to be together when we are... challenging each other, when we have conflict, when we're upset. And I think the more you can design that and get clear up front, the better it's going to go.
Always a pleasure, Darcy. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. Appreciate it very much.
I'm such a fan of your show, Larry. It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
Darcy Loma, our guest, a master certified coach, facilitator, motivational speaker. And as you can tell, she has lots of energy and excitement about her career and helping others with theirs. She's founder and CEO of Darcy Loma Coaching and Consulting in Madison. And her book, we talked about her book last year. She's the author of Thoughtfully Fit, Your Training Plan for Life and Business Success. Great to have her with us. We'll get her back and we'll do this again down the road.